Welcome back, Wisconsin. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means here on the Maggie Dawn Show, you're going to be listening to me and a terrific guest talking about money, because it is always about the money, money, money. And I personally like to know when workers in the middle class are getting, frankly, for lack of a better word, really thrown under the bus in favor of billionaires, millionaires, and CEOs. My special guest this half hour, Sarah Anderson, she directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she knows all about out of control, runaway CEO pay. Thanks so much for making time, Sarah. You just laid out some statistics right before we took a break that in the 60s, the CEO to worker pay ratio was around 25 to 1. By the 80s, it had crept up to 40 to 1. Now we're looking at a staggering 300 to 1, largely because we created perverse incentives in the tax code for corporations to engage in things like stock buybacks and for corporations to use things like innocuous sounding CEO performance-based pay. But all of this has created a system where workers come last on the list of priorities, it seems, for corporations when they're choosing what to do with their profits. How does it affect on what's going on in our politics right now? Is it showing up there too?
Absolutely. I think the reason I've kept working on this issue so long and what gives me hope is to know that there is so much common ground among Americans across the political spectrum in terms of the outrage over excessive CEO pay and wanting to narrow these gaps between CEO and worker pay. And all the polling is showing that. And we also saw how this played into like the very high profile strike of the big three auto maker workers last year. Polls showed that Americans agreed with the workers that it was crazy that CEO pay had gone up so much faster at those automakers than it worker pay had gone up. And I think that public support helped push those companies to the bargaining table and help get those workers new fair contracts. And I think that candidates, I would not be surprised at all if candidates are hearing about this outrage as they're going around to the state fairs and doing all their electioneering this year leading up to November 5th. And the good news is there are a lot of policy solutions that they could be working on. We do have a new stock buybacks tax. It's very low, but there's interest in quadrupling that tax. That was in the DNC platform. I thought that was interesting. And I think there should be some cross-partisan support for things like that. There are also ideas about making companies pay a higher tax rate if they insist on having these extreme gaps between CEO and worker pay. There's also the idea of making companies that have huge gaps between their CEO and worker pay a higher tax rate. And we could also be doing more to use the leverage we have over corporations that are getting public investment funds through government contracts and subsidies, and in using that to pressure them to narrow their gaps, which many would argue would be better for business and the bottom line anyway, because companies that have extreme gaps tend to have lower employee morale and higher turnover. And so if that would be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, you started to talk a little bit about some of these metrics of performance and employee morale and all those things. I want to get back to that because I think there's a real interesting cultural phenomenon going on here. But I do want to echo your sentiment, Sarah, that I think every voter, if this matters to each and every one of us, someone we know or care about has likely worked for one of these companies. Most of us will spend some portion of our career working in the private sector. Understanding how executive compensation works, especially at these high levels, is essential. And I think it's a completely fair question for any voter to diligence and ask candidates, what is your position on CEO pay? What is your position on stock buybacks? What is your position on wealth taxes? All of these things matter. And when we're talking about this CEO pay problem, the runaway train that this has become, you mentioned a few things that I think merit emphasis. Higher tax rates on corporations that insist on having CEO to worker pay ratios that are simply at off the charts, right? At the highest levels of disparity. We've talked about thinking about asking the federal government and other governments to, at minimum, have companies that contract with them report out those ratios and try to create some incentive for those companies to pay their workers more. Other solutions I've heard, again, a straight up buyback ban. That was Ken Lozanik's viewpoint. It buybacks taxed at 1% now, not why not 4%? Why not 20%? These are simply cash grabs that billionaires and those that control hedge funds are engaging in. We can talk about ESOPs and worker ownership of companies so that workers actually reap some of the return. We can talk about workers on boards of directors, those that set CEO pay, at least in publicly traded companies. There's a lot there. Taxing wealth, just like we tax work, all of these things would be good. But one thing that concerns me, and I was a business school graduate, is that many of my friends that work in corporate leadership, many of my friends, others that they know, those that teach corporate leadership, business leadership at our most elite institutions, we draw from a small pool when we're talking about CEOs. They hire their friends and buddies to be on the boards of directors. Is there a serious cultural problem amongst our country's most elite business schools? Is there just a bad set of expectations from corporate leaders that they should just be paid more and more?
I totally agree with that. There's this old tired argument that they have to pay these massive salaries to get the top talent, and that these guys in the corner office are really worth hundreds of times more than other workers who obviously all contribute to the value of a corporation. And I mentioned that the gap between CEO and worker pay used to be around 25-1. Now it's 300-1. There is no evidence that that change has anything to do with the quality of managerial performance at the top. This is about greed. This is about a set of elite people looking out for each other's interests and not thinking about the long-term prosperity of their workforce, their communities, and even their own companies. Because one business school study after another has shown that if you have narrower gaps, people feel more like they're part of a team. It brings out the best in all of the employees, and companies can be more profitable. So we do have to change the culture and show that nobody's worth 500 times more than another worker who's adding value to that company. And there are some practical things we can do to narrow those gaps.
My special guest this half hour, Sarah Anderson, directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute of Polity Studies. Check out her work at inequality.org. One last fact to share with everyone. Ross Stores has both the lowest median worker wage and the widest pay gap. This from your report just blew my mind away. In 2023, Ross's CEO hauled in $8.1 million, which is 2,100 times their average median employee's wage at $8,618. Disgusting. The last thing I'll say about changing the culture of folks coming out of our top flight B schools, it would also help if we weren't just hiring a whole bunch of old white dudes, eh, Sarah?
Yeah. Yeah, they're making a big deal about 10% of S&P 500 CEOs are women. That means 90% are still men.
Are mostly old white dudes. Thanks so much, Sarah. Folks, you can hear Maggie and the Millionaires every day at 3 o'clock. Keep it locked. More coming up here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.